You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Does this sound familiar? You get to work, grab a cup of coffee, turn on your computer, and sit down to start the business of the day. And there you stay, sitting and sitting and sitting. For those of us with desk jobs, that's pretty much the drill. But more and more medical researchers are warning us all that sitting is wreaking havoc on our bodies. Dr. James Levine of the Mayo Clinic has declared that sitting is the new smoking. Let's find out more now as we welcome Rebecca Hassan. She's assistant professor at the University of Michigan Schools of Kinesiology and Public Health. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm going to get it out right away. I have a real personal interest in what you're going to tell us because from 9 to 5, I am sitting. I have to write. I come in. I do interviews like this. I walk back and write some more. I come back. It is sitting. And then if I drive home, that's an hour at least, usually an hour and a half, hour 45, one way. And I can tell you after nearly 4 years, I am feeling it. So now I'm happy to have you tell me what's going on when we sit like this.
So there's a lot of different things going on when we sit too much. And most of the research over the last 50 years has focused a lot on exercise. So get up and for that 30 minutes, make sure you are on the treadmill. Make sure you're going for that brisk walk in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're getting up and moving at a certain intensity for a certain amount of time that will help to reduce your risk for cardiovascular disease, help maintain a solid weight, help reduce your risk for cancer. So we know that exercise has all these wonderful benefits. But what we've noticed is a lot of the change that has occurred over the last 30 or 40 years hasn't really been in the recreational physical activity as much. If you look at the data, leisure time physical activity has stayed pretty much the same. About 1 in 5 people are meeting the physical activity recommendations. But what has happened, and we're seeing this happen in other countries as well, is that we have transitioned from more of a working on the job to sitting on the job. So the experiences that you have, the majority of Americans that have a desk or sedentary job are experiencing that same thing. So the recent literature has shown that it's not just sufficient. Yes, it's great to get exercise and to move at the appropriate intensity to reduce disease, but you are also, there's a different mechanism or different pathway by which sitting too much is also an independent risk factor, even if you're exercising.
So what's happening in the body when we're sitting at our desks from 9 to 5 every day, day in and day out? What's going on physiologically?
Physiologically, so there's a lot of research, and most of the research is in animal literature because you can allow somebody to, or an animal, to sit for 8, or you'll immobilize maybe their hind limbs for 8, 10, 12 hours.
You can come in and study me. Go ahead.
But we've seen what the literature has shown is that there are different enzymes related to fat metabolism. So how you were able to properly break down fat, those enzymes, it's called lipoprotein lipase, are inactivated as a function of sitting for a prolonged period of time. This usually happens around 6, 8, 12 hours. So the longer you sit, the longer the inactivation of those different enzymes. Mm-hmm. And then that will impact your glucose or fat metabolism in the body, which, again, it's different than exercising. We know that exercising does a great job in terms of helping us to burn fat, helping us to burn carbohydrate. But when you sit too long, those pathways that help us burn fat while we are inactive, they become inactive even more to the point to where it increases our risk for obesity, type 2 diabetes. It increases our risk for cardiovascular disease. There's even been some literature that suggests that it increases mortality. And there's even, it's not consistent, but there's some studies that have even shown it increases your risk for certain cancers, obesity-related cancers.
That is quite a litany.
Yes, it is. So sitting is, so there. That's why a lot of the different literature, or we're seeing these comparisons with how sitting for too long is similar to smoking. If you think about it in terms of it's a modifiable behavior that we can change, it is something that is, it's easier to get up throughout the day than maybe it is even to exercise. And just moving is a first step in getting, transitioning people into exercising regularly.
How much moving should we be doing, especially when we're thinking we have deadlines, the boss needs that report, How much moving are we talking about?
So it's not a lot of movement. The United States currently does not have recommendations for how long we should be sitting. It says minimize our sitting. Canada does have recommendations. Canada says that every 2 hours we should get up and move. And even if it's just a small activity break, maybe 2 or 3 minutes to get the blood flowing, take the stairs up and down a little bit, maybe walk to go to the drinking fountain. Maybe instead of sending that email to the person across the room, there's a nice maze in here. So go to the front desk and have a conversation real quick. But it doesn't have to be where you are getting up every 30 minutes and doing 30 minutes of activity. If you get up once an hour, once every 2 hours and get some movement, maybe 5 minutes. We are starting to do this in classrooms at schools, as well as you see it in the workplace. But we know particularly for learning, for children learning, that now, because PE and recess are starting to go away, because of different budget cuts or because of standardized tests, that structured physical activity is not as available, particularly for low-income or underperforming schools. And we know that a lot more time has been allocated to seated instructional time for students.
So now we're starting younger than ever as a nation of being a nation of sitters. And then, of course, what's happening? People are coming home, getting on computers, getting on video games, and watching TV.
Right. So as structured physical activity or as structured movement, we call it, in adults, we call it occupational physical activity. So physical activity that you get on the job. In kids, we talk about it more in terms of free play because kids are always moving. But in many cases, we are asking kids to sit for prolonged periods of time. Well, with technology increasing and how fun technology is for both kids and adults, we are also going home and accumulating, at least in children, between 6 and 8 hours of screen time a day, whether that's on a phone, a tablet, a computer, or the TV. So if you add it up throughout the day, we are sitting for potentially 10 to 12 hours a day. And so that 30 minutes of physical activity, it's good, but it will not counteract all of the sitting that we're doing.
Rebecca, I have seen the standing desks. I've seen there's even adaptations that you can plop on your desk, because if we're all living in cubicle land, the boss is not going to say, sure, take out that expensive cubicle and put your standing desk. But then I've also heard people wind up with neck and shoulder and back issues because they're hunching over. Is that the answer, or is that a possible solution?
So standing is good. Standing is better than sitting, for sure. And so there is a lot of literature that says if you're standing or you're sitting on a medicine ball in the proper position, that you can increase the strength in your core.
Yeah.
Thank you. And in those kind of positional or structural muscles in your back and in your stomach. But the majority of people don't have practice good posture. And so you can run into problems where you have back issues or you're hunching over and it becomes an ergonomic issue, even though you're burning slightly more calories by standing or sitting on a medicine ball. So we always try to advocate to both kids and adults that just get up and move. Again, it doesn't have to be for a prolonged period. We are actually testing in different schools and we've tested in the lab just 2 minute activity breaks. So if you can just get up and do 2 minutes of activity at a moderate to vigorous intensity. We know that the kids in our laboratory, now that we're testing it in schools, depending on the intensity, if they were able to do high intensity, we did 22-minute breaks over an 8-hour period. So that's a work day, or that is a school day, a little longer than a school day. They will accumulate 40 minutes of high, moderate, or high intensity activity. And although you are decreasing instructional time just a little bit, you're increasing learning time throughout the classroom. And the same thing can be true for in the workplace, that we know that, you know, productivity can just sitting there looking at the screen all day long for prolonged periods of time, that concentration can decrease, on task behavior can decrease.
Your mood is affected.
Your mood is for sure affected, particularly if a bad email comes across the desk. And so those prolonged periods of time, if you can interrupt those just briefly, either for a social interaction or to get some movement, that can increase productivity, because again, it can re-energize you. Now the mechanism, some say that there is a lot in terms of increasing blood flow to the brain. Different hormones are released that affect on-task behavior or concentration. And so we even know that just with exercise, and now we're starting to look to see if we interrupt interrupt prolonged sitting? How does that impact productivity on the job? How does that affect presenteeism on the job or absenteeism? We know definitely in the exercise literature that those who exercise regularly in adults, that they have less absenteeism at work. Is that true if we also try to interrupt some of this prolonged sitting?
Is it something that you might want to see managers make as kind of a policy? Hey, Bing, everybody get up and move around, or is that taking it too far?
Not at all. We would love to see policy. I would, as a scientist, you know, we need to do more research to see what is the exact dose. So when you are making policy changes, mm-hmm. we usually try to give you a dose response or an actual prescription. How much movement do we need? When do they need to do it throughout the day that will give us an optimal result? So there is some more research that we need to do in order to actually hand that dose, because the managers don't have time to read through all of the scientific literature. Yeah. But I do think that we are at a point to where we know prolonged periods of sitting is harmful to the body and to productivity. And so any amount of movement, even if we don't have that prescription just yet, any amount of movement will be good and should be enforced as a policy. And the amount of time that it will take away from actually sitting behind the computer will likely be brought back or be...
you get almost paid back from increased...
productivity, yeah. Energy,
yes.
Good
attention.
Mood, attention, all of these different things that will help them be a better worker.
Interesting. Food for thought for everyone, everybody who's a desk jockey, whether you're a student, whether you're in an office. Rebecca Hassan is an assistant professor at the University of Michigan Schools of Kinesiology and Public Health. I will walk you to the door today. Thanks for joining us, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me.